Well, I know you guys went over 1 Peter here not too long ago. But I thought we'd revisit this one area for some reminders. Aren't you glad for reminders? Sticky notes, alarms on your phone. Let me just read 1 Peter 5, 1 through 11. And now, a word to you who are elders in the churches. Now, he broadens this in a few verses, but I'll just speak for all of the elders. None of us have this down. And Peter didn't have it down either, and I think that's one of the reasons Peter was challenging his fellow elders. He said, I too am an elder and a witness to the sufferings of Christ. And I too will share in his glory when he is revealed to the whole world. As a fellow elder, I appeal to you, care for the flock that God has entrusted to you. Watch over it willingly, not grudgingly, not for what you will get out of it, but because of your eager to serve God. Don't lord it over people assigned to your care, but lead them by your own good example. And when the great shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of never-ending glory and honor. In the same way, you who are younger must accept the authority of the elders. And all of you, dress yourselves in humility as you relate to one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right times he will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Stay alert. Watch out for the great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. So stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. All power to him forever. Amen. And I think we can see a little bit what Peter was thinking when he wrote this. In Psalm 55:22, it says, give your burdens to the Lord, and he will take care of you. He will not permit the godly to slip and fall. And then I'm sure he had the words of Jesus on his mind when Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Let me start out with a question. If God the Holy Spirit asks you today, what burden are you carrying that you haven't given to me? What would your answer be? Let me ask it just a little differently. If you knew beyond all doubt that God cared for you personally, what burden would you stop carrying today? I think what makes this portion of Scripture so impactful is because of who wrote it. Mm-hmm. Peter. The one who walked on water and sunk in fear. Now, to Peter's credit, I would be one of the 11. Being a little brother, if my big brother made it, I'm next. But Peter, he did get out of the boat. And he did take steps. But he faltered. He took his eyes off the Lord. And here again, here's the guy that claimed he would never deny Christ, that he would go to the death for him. And yet he denied Jesus three times. This is the guy that experienced crushing guilt and that feeling of failure. What have I just done? Yet he also experienced God's forgiveness and restoration. Go tell the disciples and Peter, I'll meet them in Galilee. And Peter, the one that was given the responsibility to preach at Pentecost, best sermon ever. Boy, the Spirit of God added to the church 3,000 souls. When Peter says, cast all your cares on him, he's not speaking as a man who never struggled. He's speaking as someone who learned that Christ was faithful, even when Peter was not. So I'd like us to think about just this phrase, he cares for you. Now, Peter, this is something God cares for us personally. I mean, Peter could have said he cares for people. He could have made it very broad. He cares for his creation. And he does. He cares for people. He cares for his creation. But he cares for you. Let's, just for the fun of it, say it together.
He cares for you.
Really? I mean, really, genuinely. And if we really believe that God cares for us, what is it that we hold on to right now that we wouldn't? If we really got a hold of that truth. He cares for you. Now, just imagine you're one of the first century believers that's reading this. Some of you are no longer in your home. Some are maybe somewhere else. You've been dispersed, you've been scattered, you've faced persecution, uncertainty, hardship. So Peter's not offering some theological abstract thought here. It's solid. It's concrete. He cares for you. He's saying that the God who created the universe knows and is concerned about the struggles that individual believers have. He knows. But he cares. Now, even though often my concerns are petty. Right? Often we feel our concerns are, well, think about it. You know, think about some of the concerns that you wrestle with during the week. And put it in perspective. And how many of them would you put, and maybe categorize them based upon where we are and where maybe some of these first century believers were we'd come to the conclusion that often the things that we worry about are petty. But here's the good news. God cares about this petty person. Even though I can be petty, God cares for us. God's care isn't only personal, but it's active. It's, if I could put it, it's in the now, it's in the present. In Scripture, God's care is never just, it's not sentimental. Kind of like that Southern saying, when things go haywire, and I've heard Scarlett use it, oh, bless your heart. You know, that God is not sentimental. He's not careless. When God cares, like Hagar in the wilderness, she named the place where God met her in the wilderness, God sees me. You are the God who sees me. You ever kind of feel unseen? He's the God who hears. He heard the cries of the Egyptian or the Israelites in Egypt. And what he said to Isaiah, he said, call unto me, and I'll answer you, and I'll show you great and mighty things that you don't know. He sees us, he hears us. And just, not only does he hear us, he wants to hear us. Remember the old adage, kids are to be seen and not heard.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, whoever said that, well, no judgment. But God wants to hear us. He wants to hear from us because he cares for us. And God remembers all of his promises. And he keeps all of his promises. We know this. I mean, we say it all the time. We hear it all the time. But do we really understand that God always keeps his promises? And then he acts according to his wisdom and his timing. There was a time there that I know Leanne, you know, we talk about timings, everything, and her saying was, God's never late. And he's not. At just the right time, God sent forth his son. Just at the right time, God had Esther in the wings. Just at the right time, Ruth is gleaning in the field of Boaz. God is never late. He sees us. He hears us. And he can change us. Naomi means pleasant. And when she came back from Moab and they said, oh, here's Naomi, welcome home, she said, don't call me pleasant. Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. Call me bitter. And God cares. cares for you, even in moments when we don't feel. God's care is not simply feeling sorry for us. It's His ongoing attention and involvement in our lives. God didn't get things started and then step away from His creation. That mindset is coming back. They say history repeats itself, but that's a belief that, you know, people say, yeah, there's a creator, but He's not involved right now. It's too much of a mess. He doesn't care about us. Well, He does. And God's care is proven to us through Christ. How do we know that God's care? Now, the ultimate answer is not on how we feel, or that God answered my prayer. Well, that's important. But the ultimate answer is in the cross. It's in the cross of Christ. Now, Paul writes in Romans 8, he says, "He who did not spare His own Son, how will He not also graciously give us all things?" God's care isn't merely claimed. He demonstrates it over and over again. But He first demonstrated it in Christ. Now, whenever we question whether God cares, the cross stands as the final answer. I know He does because He did this. Now, we've got to understand something about God's care for us. Sometimes we get this misunderstanding that when God cares for us, everything's supposed to go well. I can't help but think of Paul. Paul being in God's will. Was Paul in God's will when he got stoned? And all those times he got whipped? Surely he must have been, like Jonah with that shipwreck, right? When that viper comes out of the fire and bites him. It's interesting. He was doing everything God had sent him to do. And it didn't look too smooth. I don't know. I guess you have to stop and have a little empathy for John Mark, don't you? If you knew ahead of time what you were signing up for, right? Dan, you made that comment yesterday, I think we were talking. It's not easy. We can't expect things just to be easy. And I wonder if sometimes we give too much of a false impression that if you just follow Jesus, everything will be easier. Not necessarily. Better, yes. Easier? So God cares about you doesn't mean that life is going to be easy. Just again, think of Peter's that first group of believers reading this. Some of them had lost their property, their relationships, their freedom. They'd been turned in by their family, by their friends. and many of them lost their lives. So he cares for you cannot mean nothing bad will ever happen. Because it can and it does. But the wonder of the phrase, think about who Peter says cares for you, who cares for us. Naomi, a while back when they were up north, and sent back some pictures of the Northern Lights. Mm. Now, I mean, you can give me all your scientific, you know, all of the different gases and the different prisms and all that. That's just an awesome creator. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there could be some scientific explanations for, but the Northern Lights are gorgeous. Mm. You're just in awe when you see them. And if you haven't seen them, put it on your bucket list. You will not be sorry. Who has not seen the Northern Lights? Okay, there's a few. All right, put it on your list. You will be glad. Now, did you guys see the Northern Lights, Dan Leanne, in Alaska?
No.
No, it was the wrong time of year, wasn't it? Yeah. It was light pretty much all day, yeah. Just beautiful. The one who created the stars, the one who holds the universe together. Well, we take a lot for granted, don't we? You know, every tick of the clock, every sunrise, sunset. If things shifted in the universe just millimeters, we could be in trouble. He rules over history. He's the one that has the heart of the king in his hands. Yep. I don't care what your political persuasion is. God's got it right here. And you think of all of the crazies in history that thought they were going to rule the world. Alexander the who? What's his name again? Right there. What's that?
Prophesied ahead of time.
Yeah, that's right.
Daniel.
Yeah, beat that. Peter says, God cares for you. Not just nations, not just churches, not just great figures of history, but he knows where you're at right now. He knows what you need right now. Psalm 139, he knows our down sittings and our uprisings. He knows our thoughts afar off. He knew. He knew us in our mother's womb. Your concerns, your fears, your disappointments, your prayers that never seem to get answered or get past maybe the ceiling. God cares. Nothing is too small for his attention because he cares. I think you might want to, you know, push back against that. You know, God cares about really small details? Yeah, he really does. Ask Elijah, where's my next meal coming from, God? Does the ravens bring him what he needs? And then when things run out, where does he send Elijah? To someone not even in Israel. Someone that's not even a Jew. And God prepares. Just little details, right? Like a manger that's in a little hut, little barn, just at the right time. A little donkey's colt, just at the right time, and in an upper room, just all there for the using. I think I've mentioned this before. When Matt and Rachel were down in Missouri, there was a particular night, and I don't know why it was so fascinating to him, but Silas wanted to see a thunderstorm. And he was asking his mom and dad, you know, about a thunderstorm. And Rachel just simply told him, you're going to have to ask God for that. Later that night, they were awakened by a thunderstorm. And there was a little boy that was very thankful to God for that thunderstorm. I mean, really, would we go that to that extent saying that God did that? Yes. I'd be scared not to, right? Absolutely. God does care about those little things. Earlier, Peter said something about a shepherd's heart, the chief shepherd, Jesus. And it's interesting. Now, I don't know anything about being a shepherd. And all I know is often those that raise sheep and stop raising sheep won't do it again. Right, Tim? But it's interesting, the shepherd knows their sheep very well. They know if a sheep is injured. They know which sheep. And I should look this up, the origin of the black sheep. But there's a he'll know if the sheep has a tendency to wander. When a sheep is tired. When Peter says he cares for you, I can't help but think that this fisherman was thinking about the Good Shepherd. God's care is not like a distant ruler caring for his nobles and his people. It's personal. God knows us. He knows his sheep. And if we know anything about ourselves and our tendency as sheep, again, we should be very, very grateful that God cares for us. So, Peter, throw every anxiety onto God, because your well-being matters deeply to God. Your well-being matters to God. That's a big statement. If you stop and just think about it, your well-being. God cares about you. God cares for you and about you. And does things about it. I think that's hard for people to get their mind around, that we would have a God that is so personally involved with his people. He invites us to bring every burden, not just because he's obligated to receive it, but because he genuinely wants to hear it. So, what does this look like in real life? The fact that if we really believe that he cares for us, he's that great of a God. Well, I guess we have to believe that it's just not a one-time moment. It's kind of like the chorus to a song. It repeats itself. So when anxiety comes to the surface, we give it away in prayer. When fear returns, we give it back. When control slips, we trust in him again. Now, I remember, I think it was at camp or something. I remember the speaker saying, you know, that if you go back to God over and over again with the same problems, your faith is weak. And I didn't know what to do with that. Because I had pretty weak faith. But maybe that's not so much a failure, guys. Maybe that's trying to put faith into action. Mm-hmm. Knowing we can't, but he can, and giving it back to him over and over again, if that's what it takes. Just give it back. So, here's the little takeaway for us today. We were not designed to carry everything. We've been invited to give it away. We've been invited to transfer it back to God. And so maybe this could be a short prayer that we could have. Lord, I give you what's weighing on me right now. You see it. You know it. And you care about me. Teach me to trust you. Teach me to trust your care more than my control. As Solomon said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. He cares for you. Dear Father, thank you. Help us to hold tight to this truth. Lord, thank you that we can trust you. Lord, thank you through all of it, through everything. There's nothing too hard for you. Just take a moment right now, and maybe there's one, maybe there's two things, maybe there's nothing. But if there's something on your heart that you just need to give to God, give it to him. Thank you, Lord, that we can do this. In Jesus' name, amen.